The worst thing of all, worst from everything, bad in nature, impure, dirty, wretched in nature. In other words, if you can think of all the wrong sort of terminology or definitions, then that applies. And that is sin. To sin. Sinning or to sin is the worst of all scenarios. The worst of all. What is the definition of sin? And how does a sin arise? How does it come about in the first place? So sin, the definition, is to disobey Allah. Is to disobey Allah. Whenever an individual disobeys Allah, leaves a command of Allah, disobeys Allah, there's no big or small sin here. When a person is disobeying Allah, he is sinning. And when a person is sinning, when a sin attaches itself to a person, then there's no worse scenario, no more impure, dirty thing than that which is attached to the person. So dirty, so impure, so dirty that the sin or sins, Allah Ta'ala stated that due to sin, I created hellfire, Jahannam. Tell me. Just like for good deeds, Allah Ta'ala created paradise. So how great will be a good deed? So due to sins, Allah Ta'ala has created hell. Hell. And further, this is the achievement of man that Allah Ta'ala has praised, that in this world will be that person who leaves sin, saves himself from sin, departs this world and goes back to Allah. So what we realize, the life of a human being, his whole life, effort, struggle, should be hinged on what? Leaving the sins, shunning the sins, abandoning the sins. If a person's got iman, belief, certainty in Allah, he prays salah, he does amal on the instructions of Allah. But if sins are present in his life, then Jahannam, hellfire. Jahannam. Straight into hellfire. Direct. Tell me. Isn't this the case? With a person who's got so many good deeds to his name, iman, faith, and good amal, but where is he going? Jahannam. Why? Because the deeds of sin are burning him. So my brothers, my brethren, we need to exercise extreme caution. Extreme caution. And what should be cautious about? How does a sin come about? How does a sin arise? Do you understand what I'm saying? How does it arise? By disobeying Allah Ta'ala. Whenever an individual disobeys Allah in any way or form, then you maybe won't see the effect straight away. Allah's hikmah is present, inherent. It's there all the time. So a human being doesn't pay attention. What difference does it make? It's okay, I've sinned. What can I do? I've got no choice. I'm forced to do it. It's, you know, the day and age we are in, etc. Astaghfirullah. So what has a person's abode become at that time due to that sin? Where are his amal and where his amal gone? His salah, his prayer, his recitation of Quran, his prayer, his salah. Within a second. Within seconds, the direction of his life has changed due to that sin. His direction has changed. He was traveling towards paradise and his direction has changed to where? To where? Yes. So that's how big or major a crime is, a sin. And the reason, the most important subject for which Allah Ta'ala said that purify yourself, become pure, stay pure in the world and come back to me in a pure manner. Pure manner. So to leave the sin, to shun the sin, to save oneself from sin, the name, the other terminology we could apply here is tazkiyah. Purification. Whenever an individual realizes that, I need to save myself from this, I need to leave this. So where does he seek a shelter? So when he reaches to the shelter and he works hard, he makes effort to adopt the method so he can save himself from sin. Alhamdulillah, this is called tazkiyah, purification, rectification. When a person does his islah, comes for tazkiyah, purification, rectification of his soul, heart, mind, spirit, then consider Allah Ta'ala has made it easy for him. He has gone towards that method of shunning the sins. It was the worst scenario that he's in, which is sinning. He needs to leave that. Allah, may you not allow me to die, and sins are attached to me. So what does he do, that person? He does tazkiyah, he dubs tazkiyah, he does actions of tazkiyah. Allah, I don't want to sin. Allah, please don't let me do this sin. I don't want to do that sin. When this realization comes through, alhamdulillah, then that person comes under the definition of tazkiyah. And he's doing tazkiyah at that time. But it is surprising, it is sad, that person comes into the hospital, he's ill, and he sits there and he doesn't take the medicine. So he'll be asked, the patient, what have you come to the hospital for? What have you come to do? I was ill. Yes, you were ill. You're not taking the medicine. You're not following the medical support. You're not taking the advice. So what will happen? Just the way you came, you'll leave the same way. So if you've come to do your tazkiyah, and if from your life the sins are not being shunned, you're not leaving the sins, you're not trying, you don't want to, and just a little bit during the day you do a few things, and you're deceiving yourself. Oh insan, you came. Allah Ta'ala's fadl and grace with you was such that go to the ocean. I'm sending you to the ocean. Dive into the ocean and become pure. Become clean. So that individual who doesn't try this, doesn't make this intention, doesn't work hard, doesn't try to do tazkiyah to purify himself, his heart, then I've told you, then that's a different line. That's a different line. I'm praying salah, I'm doing the deeds, amal. That's physical actions. They are there, they're present. But these actions will not save me. If they are sin in my life, then still I'll have to go into hellfire first. I will have to, despite having deeds and amal. So what's the point of the deeds? What a big statement. What a big fact. But we don't pay attention. Very seldom do we pay attention to this. Very few people. If we say work hard, oh, you know, if someone's working hard, oh, he's a Sufi, these are Sufi people. What discussion point is this? Allah Ta'ala has given an opportunity to an individual to succeed. And if he's adopting that methodology of purification and tazkiyah, if he's not serious, if he's not pulling himself together, if he doesn't want to shun his sins, and if he's not doing tazkiyah every moment, he's not analyzing himself, he doesn't, whilst he's sleeping in the night, think, what's my account for the day? What sins have I committed? What types of sins have I committed? What have I done? Then life's a waste. The day's a waste. So this is the definition of how we need to leave the sins. We need to save ourselves from the sins. Shun the sins. Discard the sins. To leave the sins, all the thoughts are coming, no, it's okay, I need comfort. Consider shaitan destroying you. How can a person should never relax if I'm sinning? Never relax. I should be worried. How can I ask Allah for forgiveness? How can I detach myself from these sins or this sin? And one sin, taking an example, is very weird. Not weird, but such a sin that's there, stark, that look, when the universe was made, the world was made, that sin came about first, that spoilt everything. So tell me, that sin, if it's being repeated, then if that sin's implemented, then what happened due to that sin? Shaitan came about, Iblis came about. So think for yourself, if we are committing that sin that Shaitan implemented, that due to which his status was lost and he was expelled from Jannah, and if that sin is being done by us, then what will be our condition and situation, and what circumstances will we be in afterwards if we commit that sin as well, due to which Shaitan was expelled from paradise? What a big sin it must be. And because there are sins, so what we need to do, we need to try, is that when you realize, or we realize, or I realize that something is a sin, then stop it. That's it. Start working hard. Struggle. And leave that obstacle. I can't commit this sin. Why am I committing this sin? So the biggest sin that was created, we look towards that. Yes? That sin that came about first. Remember, all other sins emanate from that sin. That is the root of all sins. The root cause. All other sins come out, arise from that. So if you control that sin, then that will affect the other sins that are being committed as well. What sin was that? Shaitan, that he committed. And people think, oh, it was kibar. Pride. No, it's bigger than pride. Pride comes from that sin as well. These were in parallel. They meet together. And we think, oh, Shaitan had kibar, he had pride. No. He first committed this sin, and after that came kibar, pride. What was that sin? He had hasad. Aha, hasad. What did he have? Hasad. Yes, he was envious. He was envious that his, what spoiled his status and his situation? Hasad. Yes, hasad. Hasad is such a big sin that there are root causes of sins, of there are effects of sins that take you away from Allah, far from Allah. They destroy your good deeds, and they diminish your good deeds, etc. When a person, he wants to leave a sin, he has to think. So he had malice, he had jealousy, envy. Yes, so this is what hasad is. For example, when you do tazkiyah and you analyze your sins, you should have an introduction to the sins you're committing. You should be aware of them. That what losses am I incurring due to this sin? How is my life being affected by this sin? If you don't understand that sin, and if you're not introduced to the sin and understand the effects of the sin, then how will you get rid of it? So hasad, envy, jealousy or malice, there is no punishment of any other sin compared to this sin of hasad, which is a big sin, a major sin. What does it do? That, for example, other sins, we realize what they are, we leave them, but the person who is the hasid, who does hasad, what it does is that it doesn't just diminish his good deeds. It doesn't just burn his good deeds. It doesn't do that just on its own. Rather, what it does, it burns his good deeds. It burns his good deeds. In other words, if I've prayed salah, then that sin will be burnt. Allah Ta'ala will burn that sin. You won't even see it. Nobody else will see a good deed of that person. That's what hasad does. This is the effect of hasad. It eliminates the good deeds. Finished. And as a punishment, the person who is hasid against, who is envious of, then the person who's doing the envy, who's committed the sin, his good deeds are burnt. And the sins of that person who you're envious of, they're all transferred to the envious person, the person who's got envy. Brothers, this is a major sin, a massive sin. May Allah Ta'ala forgive us, protect us from this, doing hasad. And shaitan makes a person do this very quickly. Person's walking along, he'll become envious. You see someone's car, you know him, in your heart, suddenly shaitan, he injects that sin. For example, somebody gets promotion, you're there, and he'll make you envious as well. When in your heart you see the effects of envy, you see somebody's face changes, or somebody's actions change, they become better, someone gets something, and that's it. You see this, suddenly the person's, they become red, their complexion changes, their style changes, and you see this in life. Someone's at home, somebody's outside, a relative or friend, in business associate, employees, somebody who you know somewhere, always, every day, a person is influenced by shaitan. Oh, look, you've been left behind. Look what he's achieved. So this envy, it strikes the heart deep. And soon as a person becomes envious of somebody else, or has malice or jealousy, then he has committed the sin. This is a straightforward point. That not just the person who's done hasad, he has that loss. But if he's envious of someone, then he also spoils the circumstances of that person. Remember this as well. That, for example, if somebody's envious of me, there are so many effects of the envy, the hasid who's committed envy, then it's not just him. He, for example, will be envious of that person's business, his children, his home. He'll curse him, he'll try to hit him. He'll try to deliver loss to that person. It'll increase, and he kills that person. He beats the person's children or kills them. Even then, his heart is not cool because there's a fire burning in his heart. And no water can cool it. And he loses sleep in the night. His mind is boggling due to the envy he's got. So tell me, if that person is an enemy of someone else, then what will be the effect on the person who he's envious against? So Allah Ta'ala has also given an instruction to that person, who's the victim, that just like he is dangerous, even you are in a dangerous position. You're under threat. How do I know if somebody is envious of me? And if I say, no, I'm not envious of anybody. Maybe you're not, but what about others who are envious of you? Say, Subhanallah. So this is a technical point here. Some people say, oh, no, I'm not envious of other people. No, but you have come under the circle of the envy of somebody else who's envying you. So what's happening for the person who's the hasid, who has envy of others? Here, listen to this now. So you understand 2 points now, don't you? That is a big sin, a major sin. Envy, whoever does this sin, and consider what's his status. I've just told you a summarized explanation. And the person who he's envious against, who's the victim, even he's in a risk, under threat. So Allah Ta'ala said in the Quran, Allah's given us the guidance, that Allah, we ask Allah Ta'ala, we request Allah, that Allah saves us from this sin. So I should analyze myself. Have I got hasad in me? Am I envious? Inside, there's a weird feeling. Somebody, if you're envious of somebody else, when you see that person, you start laughing or smiling like a mad person. Person becomes mad when he sees the person who he's thinking or negative against. If you look at any, for example, you'll get a stomachache or you'll feel uneasy, or because you have envy for other people, there are effects. So, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi, how are you? What are you doing nowadays? Oh, I got a job. Suddenly inside, it's like a dagger. Oh, you got a job. And himself's working, but he's jealous. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi, long time no see. How comes what's happening? Oh, yeah, my business is flourishing, is it? And inside, jealousy, malice, envy. Isn't this the case? That person's destroyed if these negative feelings against others are created in the heart. So what we need to do is try that Allah Ta'ala saves us from doing hasad. Ameen. Brothers, do you want to be saved from this sin? Shall I tell you the method? A very great method to leave envy, malice and jealousy. Will you do it? Inshallah. Because even if you don't have envy against others, then you'll at least have protection from the sin in future. Otherwise, it's a big sin. You say, no, I'm not envious of others. Many people say, no, I'm not envious of others, jealousy. But he's got a stomachache. He's got the effect of envy. Yes? That's inside, he's in a very bad state. No, I don't commit jealousy against someone. He can work or do whatever. I succeed in the dunya. I've got nothing to do with him. But inside, he's got a stomachache. He's upset. He doesn't like that the other person's progressing. So my brothers, this is also a big deception of shaitan. The hasad is there inside the human being. Envy. Okay, if you haven't got hasad, then okay, I'll say one thing. Test yourself. A self-test. Do I have envy or jealousy against others? You don't have envy? No. He can do whatever business was. Okay, pray 2 rakah salah and do dua for that person. That Allah increase the blessings of his business. Do this please for me and demonstrate this. That if you are happy about that person's progress, you don't have envy against him, then do dua for that person after salah. After 5 times salah in the day, try first and foremost do dua for him. That Allah give him barakah, blessings in his business, and Allah give his children barakah, blessings, and then we'll realize, will you do the dua for him sincerely or not? We'll realize then. So you understand this test, the self-test, that there's a thermometer I've given to you. You'll understand what I'm saying. That have you got hasad inside you or not? Why is the dua not coming out properly for that person? And the enjoyment here is this: if you're in doubt, then do dua that time when Allah Ta'ala has apportioned the time to accept the dua. At the tahajjud time first, do dua for that person. Firstly, get the hasad out of your heart, out of the system. And then see what your hal is, what your situation is. Alhamdulillah, this is one cure. Do you understand what I'm saying? The first cure of hasad is what? That person you're envious against, envious of, or jealous of, the do dua for him. Special dua for him. Yes? Okay. To save yourself from being envious of others or jealous of others, a beautiful dua of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allahumma inni as'aluka rida. Subhanallah. What a beautiful treasure the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has sealed in this dua. Make this a habit in your life. What is it, oh my Rabb? Oh my Lord, what a beautiful dua. I ask you, Allah, I request from you, Allah, one thing, Allah. That whatever you've given to me, alhamdulillah, whatever you have given to me, please, Allah, make me content and satisfied on this. Aha, what a great dua. What a major dua. Massive dua. That's why hasad is created. That he's got everything. Shop is running, business is flourishing, progressing. But the person who's got the business next door is not running, stomachache. Look, he's opened his business, his shop, I have to shut down. And 3 times, 4 times over, he's got sale over him. But he's opened a small premises, but you can't bear it. You can't bear it. So we're not happy on how Allah Ta'ala is distributing that risk. You are bigger than him as an entity, as a business. No, why is he opened this? This should have been with me as well, this business. And he's burning inside. Yes, so the solution, do dua. Allah, he's opened a shop next to me. Allah, just like me, give him a warehouse as well. Give him progression. Until today, he won't do that dua because he's a hasid. This is a major sin, I'm telling you. And we cannot imagine the effects of this, the punishment. So what is it? Oh Allah, that I ask you, Allah, I request from you, that whatever you've given, Allah, whatever you've given to me, make me happy on this. It's better than 100,000. Subhanallah. Even if you got 5 or 10, look how the servant is asking Allah. Allah, make me pleased with this so that I can be satisfied and happy with what you've given me. Because distribution is yours, Allah. Who is the one who gives? Allah, you give. You give. Yes, and there's nothing lacking in your treasure chest. You can give him more, you can give me more as well, Allah. But why should I look towards him? Whatever you've given to me, may Allah make me happy on that, satisfied that you've given me very good things in the world. Allah, you've given me greatness in this world. And so if he's running a business, he's opened a similar business, I have nothing to do with that. May Allah give him success, subhanAllah. So due to the action, Allah Ta'ala becomes happy with that person. And mashallah, he becomes the owner of kingdoms, subhanAllah. When he's happy in his heart, then will he be envious of anyone? If he's satisfied and content with what Allah has given to him, then why does he need to look around? He's happy with the car, he's got the Skoda. Then why will he look towards a Mercedes? He doesn't have a need. Why would he look at a Rolls Royce? You say that my Mercedes is this car, alhamdulillah, it runs, it starts because he has pleased Allah. Allah is happy with him. Otherwise, he won't take interest, he won't deceive, he won't consume haram, he won't eat people's money, he won't consume people's wealth. No, he doesn't have to do anything. He won't do dhulam, he won't oppress, nothing. Only that person does oppression. Well, for a person, when he's a hasid, he's envious of others, then he cheats, he takes people's money, and he lies. I told you that a person is envious, then he is the qatil, or he is a mutakabbir, or proud, or he backbites, or he hits other people, or he backbites, or he slanders other people. The whatever sin he does behind all of that is envy, jealousy, hasad, malice. What's the punishment of malice? We've seen, we've heard, yes. That he won't just burn in the hereafter, he will. Allah says, I burn him in this world, just like a dry branch or piece of wood. Just same way he's burning all the time and his good deeds are being wasted. Oh Allah, whatever you've given to us, make us content and happy and satisfied. Ameen. You've understood this point? So do this dua, recite this dua. Now to save ourselves, how do we get saved from those who are envious? So first was the dua, so that we don't do envy of others. We're not envious of others. And the second thing is, how do we save ourselves from those who have envy against us? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he concluded his kitab, the surah, Allahu Akbar, Allah Ta'ala says, مِن شَرِّ حَاسِدٍ إِذَا حَسَدْ. SubhanAllah, Surah Falaq. This is the Allah Ta'ala, when he concluded his kitab, the Holy Quran, what a great dua Allah Ta'ala has taught us. قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقِ مِن شَرِّ مَا خَلَقَ مِن شَرِّ Allah Ta'ala says, قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقِ مِن شَرِّ مَا خَلَقَ وَمِن شَرِّ غَاسِقٍ إِذَا وَقَبْ. Allah says, وَمِن شَرِّ النَّفَاثَاتِ فِي الْعُقَدِ وَمِن شَرِّ حَاسِدٍ إِذَا حَسَدْ. So when first we've had the solution of so that we don't commit envy or jealousy, malice of others, Allah says that the hasid who is thinking bad against you, there's no big enemy of yours than this. For example, if a person will do dhulam on my house, oppress or hit me or burgle me, it's due to the hasad, the malice, the jealousy, the envy. So my Mawla, I have no weapon that can save me from this enemy. Allah, I have one thing. مِن شَرِّ حَاسِدٍ إِذَا حَسَدْ. Oh my Mawla, I sign myself over to you. Allah, I hand myself over to you. Allah, save me from this evil of hasad, from the hasid. Look, but if you make this a habit morning and evening to be saved from the person who's envious or jealous of you or malice, and so also that you don't commit the same crime, and your life will become easy. And this is a very valuable point that we learned today. May Allah Ta'ala give us the ability and capability to practice on this. Ameen. Allahumma salli ala sayyidina Muhammadin nabiyyil ummi wa azwajihi ummatin wa zurriyyatihi wa ahli baitihi kama sallaita ala Ibrahim innaka hamidun majid wa sallim tasliman daiman abadan kathiran kaseeran kathira. اللهم اغفر لنا ذنوبنا وظلمنا وهزلنا وجدنا وخطأنا وعملنا كل ذلك عندنا. اللهم ربنا اتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار وقنا عذاب القبر وقنا عذاب الحشر وقنا عذاب الميزان وادخلنا جنة مع الأبرار يا عزيز يا غفار يا رب العالمين.
اللهم صمتنا على الإيمان وأمتنا على الإيمان واجعلنا يوم القيامة مع الإيمان. اللهم اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. اللهم اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. اللهم اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. اللهم استقبلنا بسنته ونفعنا بمحبته واجعلنا بزمرته يا كريم. ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين. ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب. يا قاضي الحاجات اقض حاجاتنا. يا دافي البليات ادفع بلياتنا. يا شافي الأمراض اشفع مرادنا. يا شافي الأمراض اشفع مرادنا. يا شافي الأمراض اشفع مرادنا. اللهم عافنا في بني. اللهم عافنا في سمي. اللهم عافنا في بصري. ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة أعين واجعلنا للمتقين إماما. اللهم دمرهم هما كما ربياني صغيرا. اللهم دمرهم هما كما ربياني صغيرا. اللهم دمرهم هما كما ربياني صغيرا. اللهم اغفر لنا ولوالدينا وأستاذينا ومشايخنا وجميع المؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات. اللهجهم منه والنموات برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون والسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين.
آمين.